They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
New jobless claims rise again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. After falling for five straight weeks, the number of new unemployment benefit claims rose by 17,000 last week, more than expected. However, that may have happened thanks to Thanksgiving. State unemployment offices were closed for the holiday, so a bunch of laid-off workers had to come in last week. Okay, that's the layoff picture. Now let's talk hiring. When a company hires somebody, they generally like to decide what to pay that person, which might explain what Citigroup is up to. There were reports this morning Citi plans to join its bailed-out cousins in getting out from under the restrictions that come with owing the U.S. taxpayer. Here to fill us in on the story is Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite. She joins us live from New York. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
So what are some of these government restrictions?
Well, all the big banks that got large infusions of government funds had to stick to government rules, including pretty strict rules on compensation. And banking consultant Bert Ely says they really didn't like it.
I think this is especially the case with Citi, since it, like Bank of America, had been subject to this extraordinary supervision.
Meaning they had the government's so-called pays eye, Kenneth Feinberg, kind of breathing down their necks and giving them what they thought of as excessive limits on how much they could pay people. And, you know, Citi's really worried about its ability to keep top staff. They'd love to get some kind of repayment plan in place so they can show staff, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We are going to stand on our own again, just to sort of keep people motivated.
And how much money is Citigroup intending to pay back?
Well, they got $45 billion in bailout funds in all, but the government converted $25 billion of that into common stock. So the government effectively owns a third of Citigroup. So it's the other $20 billion they want to pay back. And they're planning to raise the money in the stock market. There's also a possibility that they might raise some cash by selling some of their businesses, but it's not clear yet whether that's on the agenda.
Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite joining us live. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The push for a tax on bank bonuses is gathering steam. President Nicolas Sarkozy today became the latest to impose a one-time tax on the bonuses banks pay their workers. It's a 50% tax on bonuses above about $40,000. The UK took the same action yesterday, and London economist Andrew Hilton says that was mostly driven by politics.
The Labour government faces an election in about 4 months. And it really wants to portray its opposition party as being in favor of the rich and against the poor. Bankers don't have any friends across the political spectrum, and this is easy point scoring.
Britain and France are calling for similar one-off bonus taxes across the European Union. Now let's do the numbers. It's a mix. European markets are up about 1%, despite a ratings agency lowering its credit rating outlook on Spain. Major Asian markets, though, lost about 1% today. Yesterday, Wall Street gained ground, with the Dow adding 51 points and closing at 10,337. The U.S. House today will debate the most sweeping changes to financial regulation since the Great Depression. The bill it's considering would regulate the over-the-counter derivatives market for the first time, set up a council to police systemic risks, and put new limits on executive pay. A lot of us have had our pay limited lately, thanks to the recession, and that's probably going to show up today when the government gives us its monthly statement of how much money's flowing in and out of the public coffers. Marketplace's Brett Neely tells us the government is getting less and less of its money from the income tax.
When you look at your pay stub, there are two kinds of taxes. There's income tax, think 1040s and April 15th. And there are payroll taxes, which fund Social Security and Medicare. Those are flat taxes of about 15% that employees and employers contribute equally to on the first $100,000 or so of income. Payroll taxes have long netted the government much less than income taxes. But not this year, says Len Berman at Syracuse University.
It's primarily an artifact of the recession and the big income tax cuts that were enacted as part of the economic stimulus package.
Lost jobs and the sinking housing market have caused income tax revenues to fall $300 billion, while the payroll tax has chugged along. But Berman says once the economy recovers, the income tax should start collecting more money again. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Right around happy hour time in Washington today, the Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America takes the stage at the National Press Club. Industry leaders will let us know how the drinking sector is doing. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
Craig Wolf is president of the Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America. He says the economy may be recovering, but drinkers are still looking for deals.
The days of the $20 to $60 to $100 bottle of wine are fading very quickly.
He says hard alcohol is avoiding the trend somewhat because there's more brand loyalty with liquor. The other trade down is a move toward buying alcohol in stores instead of buying it at restaurants and bars, which is not to say that bars are emptying out altogether. I stopped into a Manhattan pub called Mustang Sally's. Manager Mike Kelly told me for his customers, it's all about the cheap drink specials these days.
For the ladies, we like to do a $5 Cosmo. And for the gentlemen, we do $4 Jamesons, just in case you need to get the edge off after your day's work. And we've noticed a great after-work trend and buzz in the place.
So you'll drink to that?
I will drink to that, Jeremy. Thank you.
In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, you've noticed how the Christmas season keeps expanding? Well, today, Easter strikes back. The makers of Peeps, those chick and bunny-shaped marshmallows, are opening their first Peeps store near Washington, selling Peeps plush toys, Peeps mouse pads, Peeps artwork, 800 different products. Now it's Easter all year round, thanks to Peep Creep. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.